Hello and welcome to the In Radio podcast. I'm Dom. And before we get going on some foray out into the world of local radio, a quick mention of thanks for everybody who came back with such positive feedback from the last In Radio podcast, which was something of a mammoth task of articulation, drawing in examples of what you might describe as community-powered local radio. That was a decidedly bumper episode, and all for World Radio Day, which takes place in mid-February. And to some extent, this is a contrast, partly because I'm largely focusing on one radio station today, which is celebrating a special anniversary. But if my emphasis previously was very much around community licenses operating as the local radio station for their areas, and while my destination today certainly fits that description, but it is a radio station that very much emphasises the word community as it goes about the business of delivering volunteer-orientated local radio. The other thing about today's edition is, and yes, I listened to everybody's feedback, because amidst a sea of compliments, one of the threads of feedback was, Dom, could you make him a little bit shorter? So at just over 20 minutes, this is two-thirds shorter than the World Radio Day edition of the programme. And one last thing, as I confirm that we have now entered a prologue of Chaucerian proportions, I would like to say at this early stage that although in this edition I am focusing on one radio station, I do touch on a number of subjects of national interest, such as what's happening in commercial radio, what is the relationship between community and BBC local radio, and how we go about empowering local voices, are all themes lurking in the background. So even if you have not the slightest interest in the Somerset region of the UK, there should be something for you here if you're interested in the whole area of local radio in the UK.
The In Radio podcast with Dom Chambers.
In
Radio.
In today's podcast, I head over the Mendip Escarpment, pausing only to appreciate the fantastic Tolkien-esque view of Glastonbury Tor with this little stump on top, standing proud amidst the Isles of Avalon on the Somerset Levels. Heading further down the road, the radio crackles in to Glastonbury FM, and that is where I'm bound as I join them for their 10th anniversary celebration. In Radio. In January 2019, Summer Valley FM, the radio station that I run in northeast Somerset, reached a very important milestone in the form of our 10th anniversary. And the way community radio licensing works, that also coincides then with the launch of our third licensed term, which means we will be pumping out local radio on FM until at least 2024. Naturally, of course, this was an excuse for festivities, and we rolled out the barrel, opened a tin of salmon, and knocked out a few tunes on the cottage upright. Well, at least that's one way of remembering our celebratory event in the cricket club in Peasedown, St John. But on a serious note, that anniversary comes with an enormous sense of relief by myself and the fellow directors of the radio station. Running local radio stations under the community license is an enormous challenge. There is no comprehensive funding strategy for community radio in the UK, and each area has to do the best they can with the volunteer goodwill and the skills that they can muster. And at Summer Valley FM, we've been very lucky with both. Launching back in 2008 with a strong sense of community engagement and a strident business plan. Now, that business plan has had to be revised a little bit over the course of time, but generally, we've kept our head above water. It's not always been easy, but it's certainly been worthwhile. And it is with that level of appreciation that when I visit community radio stations up and down the land, I do have some sense of understanding of what an achievement it is just to be there, just to survive. And it is in that context I was really pleased to receive an invitation to the 10th anniversary evening of Glastonbury FM. Now, Glastonbury FM, or GFM, is located quite near to Summer Valley FM, although it's in a very different part of the country. If we in northeast Somerset are about post-industrial redefinition with the departure of the railways and the mines and other core industries, like all the printing that used to go on around here, then the Glastonbury area almost defines rural Somerset. Rich in heritage and strong on contemporary and even new age associations that make themselves apparent if you should ever take a stroll up Glastonbury High Street. It's also, of course, got the association with one of the world's biggest and best-known festivals. For Mr. Evis's farm is just a stone's throw away. But lest I'm accused of romanticising this part of the world, I should of course also point out that it is an area with many social challenges around isolation, disadvantage, mental health considerations, and employment. Somerset is far from a rural idyll, and for these reasons, those in decision-making circles are looking to put a well-being college together for the region. I'm a little bit involved with that, and that'll be a story for another occasion. But of course, where there are social challenges, that tends to be where local radio community style really thrives. Both Summer Valley FM and Glastonbury FM emerged out of the second wave of Ofcom licensing for the South West. Both beginning our licences in 2009, we have, if you like, grown up together. And just like siblings in a family, we have much in common, although we also have our own distinctive and individual characteristics. And while we are both local radio stations, from a volunteer starting point, we do sound really quite different. And when the invitation came through to join them for their celebratory evening, I was, of course, really interested to see how the station just down the road has developed in those 10 years. And I met many friends and familiar faces when I was there, one of whom is founding director Steve Billsborough, who I remember meeting at a pub in Glastonbury before both our stations had launched. And we were just sat there over a pint thinking, how on earth are we going to make this work? And when I catch up with Steve, we remember him rather better than me, actually, what we talked about on that occasion. But to start with, I talk with another long-term director of the radio station, Alan Trinder, and I asked him what, in his view, is the core purpose of GFM.
I think it's putting local people in touch with their local community. I think one of the things we have been good at is connecting people, and I think community radio does that to a treat. We are the definition of what is local, and we connect people to what's going on. They'll hear a familiar voice, they'll hear a place mentioned, and it's things like that, I think, which just bring people together in a quite a gentle sort of way.
Time Tracks, a series of programmes about the history and ecology of our Somerset countryside. I'm Tess Lippin, and together with Les Cloutman, who has a great knowledge of local history, we shall be finding out more about our local landscape. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tess. We're up here at Deer Leap today, just on top of the Mendips, looking down to the south over the Somerset levels, and it's quite misty and just a tiny bit drizzly, but we can see the levels down there and Glastonbury Tor.
I'm really pleased to welcome my first two guests this afternoon, who are Charlotte Bradley and Mel Rowlands, and they're both from the Neighbourhood Beat team. How are you? All right?
Fine, thank you.
Fair good. Enough. I've been worried about you, Mel, of course. Explain. Go on.
Well, I put on my Facebook site that I was doing this interview this afternoon, and I thought I might have had a little bit of a sore throat coming this morning. I might have lost my voice.
But then you recovered, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a bit of chocolate cake. It's all right now.
That's good. Excellent. Lovely job. Great to see you both. And we're trying to make this a monthly slot, aren't we? And sort of, you know, getting people talking about the issues which affect them and the stuff that you're doing in your role. Before we start, can I give you a bag? Because I've got one over here.
Hello, my name's Laura, and today I'm with the Plastic Free Wells stand in this lovely cathedral.
And what exactly are you doing here?
Mostly talking to people who seem to be very engaged with the reducing single-use plastic project, which is great.
Just some of those voices there that Alan was talking about, which go to make that central relevancy of local people talking about local matters, making engaging local radio. And even just turning up to the party celebrating 10 years, with lots of food, drink and conviviality, it was quite obvious to me and anyone else that there are a lot of people who care about the radio station and that it is thriving as a local broadcaster. And founding director Steve Billsborough was the first to articulate his pride that that is the case. But as we reflect, it was not obvious that it would turn out to be so, which seems a good point to return to that conversation over 10 years ago now when we both met up in the Rifleman in Glastonbury. I knew we had 101 things to be worried and concerned about, and we had lots to share. As to the specifics of that conversation, Steve has a better memory than me.
We had the same main considerations, which were money, funding, people, and also a little bit of an anxiety about this new type of radio, you know. I mean, at that point, community radio was still quite young, wasn't it? I know we weren't the first on air, but we were quite early, I think. There were a sort of handful of stations that had done it, you know. I was also thinking, other than the obvious money, people, etc., I was thinking, what's it going to become, though? You know, is this a five-year experiment? Is that going to be it, you know? And there was a part of me that thought that could well happen, you know, that community radio, a little bit like access radio, you know, in the early days. So I think those were our main challenges. We hadn't thought about programming or, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I was still very much thinking in the RSL mentality, so the short-term licenses, which we'd done probably about 5 years of at that point, and they were truly organic, you know. What's it going to cost to put this on? Are there enough advertisers locally that could fund that? So I think we were probably still thinking like that, and that was probably a challenge that GFM had for quite a long time. How can we change our thinking from short-term, temporary type service to something with a bit of sustainability? And I think that's what today is, you know. I think it's truly sort of evolved now, 10 years on, into a proper forward-thinking, long-thinking station.
The GFM Local Events Guide.
Now let's take a look at some of the events taking place around the GFM district. On Tuesday the 23rd of April, it's Ukes of Avalon playing a concert, and that's at Georgian Pilgrim, Glastonbury, 8 p.m. This event's taking place on Wednesday the 24th of April. It's Travesty's Comedy Club, and that's at Tall Leisure, Glastonbury, 7:30 p.m. Moving on to Thursday the 25th of April, Fabulous Furry Folk presents Martha Tilston in the Assembly Rooms, Glastonbury, 8 p.m. These events are taking place on Friday the 26th of April, a day of...
Hashtag proper local radio. But at this stage, I was naturally keen to catch up with GFM's current manager, Joanne Schofield. And so inevitably, I suppose, one manager to another, I asked her the question about what her challenges were. As it happens, though, her answer smoothly morphed into a well-articulated vision for community radio.
Finance is an obvious challenge, but actually one of the other challenges is getting the message out there that community radio is different to the BBC, it's different to commercial radio, and it is a platform for people to get involved in ways that they want to. It's a platform for them to learn new skills. It's a platform for them to develop new friendships and understandings of their community. It is a powerful medium that we haven't really tapped into yet. Over 250 community radio stations around the country. Think about that if we all pulled together and worked together on getting messages across. How much more powerful would we be? Think about the creativity, because we're not managed or we're not obliged by the licensed payers like the BBC are. We are an absolute free range of people coming in and being creative on radio.
Joanne Schofield there with some really interesting reflections on what might happen if local radio in the UK operating under the community licence were ever to formulate some sort of cohesive strategy. There are people who are focused on the potential of a national advertising offer, although my personal view is that the focus should be more on how we harness community radio to advance positive messages around health and mental well-being. The Mental Health Minute campaign that happens in May, which is a cross-sector collaboration from many networks in the UK, is perhaps an early example of this potential. But fascinating as these thoughts are, I think we will explore them more fully on a subsequent occasion. Although I will just mention in passing, what Joanne started to touch on there is the core agenda of the Local Radio Alliance, which I set up in December 2018. So, in the avoidance of distraction, let us go back into what Joanne was saying and develop that idea that is prevalent in so many community broadcasters up and down the land in what she was saying about being a platform to develop skills. Now, I've talked about on numerous occasions how the skills that you can develop in a community radio station or any radio station are all transferable and can be central to people's positive progression, whatever their job or career choices are. But clearly, community radio is also a vital training ground for those who want a professional media or broadcast career. And at the GFM celebration, I met just such a person. Andy Bennett is the voice of afternoons on BBC Somerset.
It's incredible to have that stepping stone, if you like, because no way could I do what I do now if I'd not done community radio, because you can't just suddenly go into a job and work for the BBC and have a show. You have to go into a community station where you're all in the same boat and no one's expecting you to be the new Steve Wright. No one's expecting you to know everything. And once you accept that and you are comfortable with it, that's when you start to learn, because there's nothing worse than going to a new job or a new career or new anything, something, a new experience, thinking, oh, I don't know enough, everyone else knows more than me, I'm going to get it wrong, because straight away you're on the back foot. But to go there and just know that you're all in the same boat, they're expecting you to make mistakes, you're there to learn, you're there to do so many different things. You learn the art of editing, you learn how to do the basics, like doing the whole faders. I never knew when I started in community radio that you dipped your fader. I thought the computer did it for you. And there I am, talking all over a song. It's like, you've got to dip the fader. I didn't know that. But it's those skills that you get in community radio that you can build up. And then if you do end up, if you are lucky enough, and I class myself as extremely lucky, to end up working, for instance, in my case, the BBC, it's because of that training ground that I had. I would have been a nervous wreck to have gone straight in to the BBC without any of those learning skills. It is a learning curve, and I think we all need those.
I have to say, Andy's enthusiasm is infectious, and it's great to hear his story. And indeed, his own tribute to the community broadcasters such as GFM, and also he trained over at Sedgemoor FM in Bridgewater. All of which leads to a further consideration that this podcast likes to dwell on from time to time, and that is, what is the relationship as local radio stations between the BBC and community licences? I should just say that I am putting a dedicated podcast together for this topic, but whilst I had Andy on microphone, it was a good opportunity not to be missed to get his view on this as somebody who's worked in both sectors.
There is a big link between your local BBC and your community radio stations, because essentially they are doing the same thing. The only difference is we just happen to have those three letters at the front that maybe are a bit more well known. But that's basically it. You know, in Somerset particularly, you know, you've got Summer Valley, you've got GFM, you've got us, you've got Sedgemoor, you've got 10 Radio. There's a lot of groups. We've worked with all of those. We've done bits with all of them and we'll continue to do so, because we're all doing the same thing. We all just want to tell good stories about local people and find out what's happening in our patch.
Yeah, that's Wasted Love by Stevie and the Masquerades. And don't forget, they'll be playing as part of the Cosmic Ninja EP launch tomorrow at Mr. Wolf's. Okay, now we have our live guests in, the Mule Skinners. All right, guys?
Yeah, lovely, thank you. Lovely. Nice
good,
to see you.
Yeah. Nice to see you. Nice loud voices there for a change. No one mumbling away.
There can be no mumbling on this show.
No mumbling in here.
A little bit of that platform for creativity that Joanne was talking about earlier. Now, as I travel around the country, I listen to all sorts of radio and audio, including what people in the radio industry call commercial radio. Of course, to the average listener tuning in, they're just listening to radio. But I like commercial radio, I used to work in it, and sometimes it's the very thing to tune to heart. X, Smooth, or even Absolute 80s. If I fancy the wave of nostalgia that comes around by hearing Tapao's China in Your Hand. What is clearly happening in the UK is that local radio is increasingly in the hands of community and BBC radio stations. And just hearing that clip there is immensely reassuring that what is happening in community radio is valid, it's unique, and it has a major place in the broadcast landscape. Back to Andy.
Commercial radio is a wonderful thing. It's never going to have the same intimacy as someone who is in your area talking about someone you know and a person you know and an area you know. And I think that the two work very well together, BBC local and community stations, because we're all in it for the same goal and we're basically all in the same boat.
And ultimately, those of us in that boat are in the business of communicating and resonating with local audiences. Interesting though, back to that conversation I had with Steve Bilsborough when setting up local radio under the community vision was indeed still a vision and not a reality. Steve was wondering then how the fledgling community radio sector would fit into the radio landscape, which at the time was principally served by the two sectors of the BBC and commercial networks.
Probably were thinking in the back of our minds, right, how's this going to work with commercial radio? And maybe that was part of my concern, that commercial radio was so established, and there was still a relatively high amount of local programming at that point, I guess, in commercial radio. I wouldn't have predicted, even though it's fairly obvious now, the sort of consolidation of the industry to the extent that's happened, you know. And if anything, it's freed community radio to really take up its place, to be the local voice now. You know, I'm not sure commercial radio can do that anymore with the consolidation. I just don't think it's possible, you know. And that's been happening a long time. So community radio and BBC, which I've always thought was sort of halfway between that anyway, you know, sounds like we'll partner much more successfully. It's actually a really exciting and positive sort of panorama now for community radio.
And it was very clear to me that GFM is fulfilling that potential. As to the wider relationship with local BBC, I think we have a very positive outlook both in community radio management and the management of BBC Radio Somerset. But as somebody in a former role as chair of the Community Media Association, who'd overseen the drafting of the Memorandum of Understanding between BBC English Regions and community radio stations, my own hunch, I think we're still at the very early end of the potential of that relationship between community and BBC broadcasters. We shall see, and as I say, the In Radio podcast will dwell further on this in the future. For now, though, the night was with the local radio station for Glastonbury, Street and Wells. I asked Andy Bennett what he had to say to our hosts for the evening.
I'd say well done, basically, to Alan and all the team, because I work in an industry which now I've noticed there is so much work goes into it, but there's a little bit more money in it. Whereas you look at the guys here, and I've worked, as I said, community radio, all of them are volunteers. There's no money involved. It is for the love of it. But to keep it going for 10 years, because we sat in the AGM tonight and we all looked through how much it costs, there's a lot of money to keep this place going. And they started off in a little porter cabin in the corner of a sports club, which probably leaked. And here they are now with proper studios and a proper team and a constitution. They've got, you know, their secretaries. There's someone doing, there is AGMs. It's a proper station. It's a group of people that have come a long way in 10 years. And you've got to take your hat off to them.
Andy, articulating there the respect for the leadership team that was very much in the room that night. And that respect not only acknowledges how GFM is operating now as the local radio station, empowering those voices, doing its training and giving people an outlet for creativity to inform local audiences about the area they live and work in, but also for how it overcame the challenges that presented itself on the way. Alan Trinder had been part of that journey from the start, so how does he see the line of progression from this point?
I wanted to be still here. I wanted to be very much part of the community, even more than it is now. And I want to see it just going from strength to strength.
Everything benefits sometimes, doesn't it, from breathing new life into it. And I think Joanne has lots of expertise in outreach. And although the station's done really well, Alan's role's been fantastic with outreach. But I think she's going to sort of drive it even further now, you know, and really properly connect with groups that don't have a voice. People are often, well, no, I don't want to do radio. I don't like radio. We don't do radio. And then you talk to them and they quickly realise that actually it's just an opportunity for them to get their message out. You don't need to think about radio. You know, community radio is not really necessarily concerned first and foremost with slick radio. It's concerned with getting people with a voice on air and, you know, giving them a voice that they wouldn't normally have. So I think that's what GFM have done well, but will do really well in the future.
This is Kat for GFM, working with the Beckley Island Regeneration Trust, capturing the memories of the people that worked in the Bailey's buildings in Glastonbury.
I am Jean Shepherd now, but I was Jean Bobbitt. And I started in 1960, January 1960, and I finished in 66 when I got married.
And this is such a wonderful community feeling today. So many people are just going around smiling at each other, and it's so nice. It's a happy event.
You're listening to the Thursday Live Show, sponsored by the Godney Gathering, one of Somerset's finest festivals.
I'm really privileged to be involved in a radio station which has been going for 10 years, just being the best example of a voluntary-run organisation. Yeah, I'm excited about the next 10 years.
Last word going to Joanne Schofield there. And my thanks to everybody at GFM for a fantastic evening of celebration. and a quick thought that that conversation I had with Steve Bilsborough way back when, before it all got going, has of course acted as a great reference point as we reflect on the achievements of the last 10 years. But I'm thinking then that this podcast hopefully will act as a similar positive reference point as we go forward into the next decade. And if I'm to make one prediction, I do believe that what Joanne was saying in there about collaboration has got to be part of the future of community-style local radio here in the UK, which, after all, is still relatively in its infancy. And that's it for this edition. Do keep the feedback coming in and also ideas for future podcasts. You can contact me at The Dom Chambers or the various outlets for In Radio on social. Until next time. Radio.